Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. It's 1 through 11. As we talk about a backsliding or backslidden believer, someone who got away from God. Genesis 19, you follow as we begin reading in verse 1. The scripture says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." Notice where he was sitting. "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round," they circled it, "both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And I hope you understand what that means. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house of them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Now, I'm sure you understand and realize that you can be saved and get out of God's will, be out of God's will. That's not the position you want to be in, where you're saved and you're out of God's will. Now, Lot had gotten away from the Lord. You remember the story and the situation that developed where God called Abram and Sarah out of the Ur of the Chaldees in that area, and they went up to Haran, and he also had one of his brothers going with him and his nephew. And when they got there, his nephew's father died, and so Abram and Sarah were taking him with them. And they came to an area where they had to make a decision. There was not enough land and all for both of them to have their cattle, and there was some fussing going on. The first cowboys that were having a battle over territory, and so they got to fighting and fussing over that. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you choose where you want to go, and I'll take the other territory." But here's where Lot made his mistake. He had some other places he could have gone to, by the way, but he decided to go to a place which I think he knew was not the best place for him to go to. He made a decision at a point in time to, in a sense, go to a city that was very carnal and very worldly. In the well-watered plains, as he looked there, he said, "That's where I want to go. I want to become somebody. That's where prosperity is. That's where all of that is, and I'm going to go there." And he did, and I think he got out of God's will when he did that. He didn't lose his salvation. You understand you can't lose it if you really have it. But, oh, brother, you can lose the joy of it. You can lose the happiness of it. And you can lose your influence and your testimony. Second Peter calls him in chapter 2, don't turn there, but in verses 6 or 8 you can read it where he is called righteous Lot, or just Lot, a just man. So he was saved, he was a Christian, as we would put it in our vernacular for today, he was born again. But as we look at this saved man, and we look at what happened, transpired in his life, God is warning all of us who are already saved, and I think also subliminally, he's warning those of you who are not saved yet. He's saying to us, pay attention, watch out, look at what happened here. So first we look at Lot's choice. What was Lot's choice? Well, he decided to go to Sodom. Now, the name of the city ought to give you a clue. And I'm sure it gave him a clue as to the fact that the Sodomites were not the people that were in God's will, that were walking with the Lord and serving the Lord. It is very typical of a Christian making up their mind that they're going to start compromising and go the ways of the world. And you know how Christians do that. They don't have a big blowout. They just do it a little at a time. The church is here. The Word of God is here. The teaching is here. And then we just move over just a little bit. And then we just move over just a little bit more. And then we just move over a little bit more. And then just a little bit more. Some of you think I'm going to fall off here. I'm not. But we get all the way over there. And here's the church and the Word of God right here. And we've moved away slowly. And we really didn't realize that. But he made a choice. And we always do that with choices. There are a lot of young people here today. How many teenagers we have here? Raise your hand. All of you teenagers all over the auditorium. In every section, just about, we have some. And we're thankful for that. And some of them are over in another church service, I think. Perhaps some of them are helping over there. But when I think of a young people, I think, listen, don't listen to the devil. Because he'll say, you know, come on and have a drink. Just one drink. And that one drink is not going to hurt you. Be popular. You get with a crowd and they say, hey, we're going to have a drink. We're going to have a few beers or a beer or something. Just go ahead and do it. This just one time. Let me tell you something. That's how every alcoholic or drunkard, the Bible calls them, gets started. Just one drink. If you don't ever take that first drink, you're not apt to become an alcoholic, right? Just one drink. Leave it alone. What about drugs? Social drugs and all of that is popular. But leave it alone. Don't fool with it. And I might add, too, some adults need to be careful about overuse and abuse of prescription drugs. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we could get hooked on that. What about moral impurity? And I'm speaking not only to young people, but I'm addressing them at this point especially. But I'm saying you need to be careful about the internet and immorality and pornography and all of those things that are out there. Listen, if we thought that we had some problems with a magazine called Playboy back in the 50s, what do you think these kids are putting up with today? But the best thing to do is leave it alone. Don't listen to the devil. Don't become worldly. Do not become carnal. Oh, we're going to have a party. Come on and party with us. What a tragic thing. And how many tragedies have we heard of with somebody going to have a party? Then all of a sudden, the young woman is pregnant. All of a sudden, somebody's killed or something has happened that is a very tragic thing. And so you have to be careful with all of that. We have decisions to make. What about marrying? Be sure that you marry somebody that is born again if you're saved. Amen? Parents, amen to that. They should marry somebody that is saved, that already knows the Lord. Now, that doesn't guarantee you're not going to have any problems, but I grant you that is God's primary will, is that you marry somebody of like faith and belief so that you can serve the Lord together. I think you have to watch your music. Some music is good, some music is not good for us. The beat, the tempo, the language in the music. Some of this rap music that's out there that purports sex and killing cops and everything else in the world, leave that junk alone. Don't fool with that kind of music. The kind of music we should have should be edifying, should build us up in the faith. And if you can't do that, you're probably better off to throw all of that stuff away and get some good stuff and listen to that. It'll build you up. adults sometimes drop out of church. They usually don't do it all at one time. They start on Wednesday night, and they'll get too tired to come back to church on Wednesday night. Now, I know some people have providential reasons they cannot come, and I'm not speaking of you. The same might be on other occasions. But most of the time, it's, well, we just don't want to go anymore on Wednesday night, and we're too tired, and it's not an important service. I personally believe Wednesday night's important. I believe it's that middle of the week clothesline effect that you need to lift you up, to get you on through the week so you can go to the Lord's Day. And I think it's a good thing to have midweek services and to stay in the Word of God and to be edified in that. But a lot of people drop Wednesday, and then the next thing you know, it's Sunday night. And if they're not careful, they'll even get to where they don't come on Sunday morning or get very spasmodic about coming on Sunday morning. I want to tell you that you're asking for problems. I have seen some of the people I love the dearest, and I'm talking about family, who got prosperous, and the next thing you know, they've quit going to church, they quit serving the Lord, they had all the trinkets and all the toys, the boats, the cars, the motorcycles, and all of those things, and then they began to leave God out. Well, we're too busy. We got to go to the lake. We got to go camping. We got to throw up our tent. We got to miss church. And these weekends become more frequent. I'm not against camping. I'm not against boating. I'm not against skiing. I think I could still ski if I had a chance. I don't know. It's been a while. Water ski. I don't know about the snow ski. Last time I tried to do that, I got jerked off the deal, and I don't know. That's a different story. But I'm telling you that those things are all right, but so many people, and there are people that I've preached to like you that are here right now, and I think none of them will ever do this only to live long enough to see it happen in their lives. But I've seen tragedy. I've seen heartache. I have sat with people who wept and said, I made a mistake. I got away from God. And because of that, that's why God is chastising me. And I'm going to get my heart right with God. And they get their heart right with God, but they have paid such a price. And I don't have time to go into some of the details, but it could involve loved ones that have died and so on and so forth. I'm just saying to you, don't drop church and don't get away from church and don't get out of church and these things and don't get wrapped up in materialism or your child's sports events and scholarship. I know those things are important, but you better put the Lord first. Does anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
I like sports, and I enjoy that. And Dallas Cowboys are going to put a whipping on the Redskins next time they play them. The next time they play them. Would you believe Dr. Gene Bird sent me an email on Monday morning, and the letters were this tall on my deal. It said, yay, Redskins. I couldn't believe it. He'll never be back for another missions conference. That did it. He's through. He's lucky he got his love offering before he left. I don't believe in luck, by the way. I told him, I wrote back and said, you're very fortunate that you got your love offering before you left. We need to be very careful about those things. They can pull you away from God. Listen, you don't have to compromise your convictions in order for your children to get through the university. God can give you another way to prepare for that and to deal with that. And some parents don't. You know, I know everybody's not going to go to a Bible college. Now, my personal conviction is it would be far better if you'd have them go at least 1 year, 2 semesters, to a good, solid Christian Bible college and let them get those foundations down before some PhD who's dumber than a box of rocks tries to mess up their brain. Go ahead and do that. I think that's a good thing. And everybody's not called to full-time service. Some are called to be doctors and dentists and lawyers. Lawyers? Yeah, Christian lawyers, that's right. We do have some in our church, right? Honest Christian lawyers. But at any rate, I'm just simply saying, dear friend, you parents need to be very careful about that. And be careful about encouraging them to go to some liberal church somewhere that doesn't believe this book, doesn't preach this book, has no separation standards, none of those things. You say, well, the youth have just got to have it. They're young people, they just got to have it. Well, I submit to you that we have a bunch of young people and they don't just have to have it. They're still here. One of the reasons they leave churches like ours when they go to college is because the parents hadn't grounded them deep enough, and they don't make it a strong enough emphasis that you need to stay in a good, solid, Bible-believing, missions-minded, soul-winning church. Amen. Instead of some liberal church that says, we don't know if this is inspired or not, or some liberal school like that. But they also need to have a good devotional life. Adults, let me tell you something. You've heard it before. Sin will keep you away from this book, and this book will keep you away from sin. And that's true. You get out of the Word of God as a believer, and you're not spending daily time in the Word. You say, well, you just don't know my schedule. No, neither do you know mine. I have a pretty busy schedule, and I spend time in the Word of God besides what I studied to preach. Personal devotional time. And we've got to have that. And I encourage you, as a Christian husband, to set that up in your family. You are the one responsible for it. Now, if you're a single parent and you're the lady, then you're responsible for it. But I'm saying we need these things. And Lot, by the way, had a pretty good life for a while. He had a lot of gusto for a while. He was a man at the gate. That meant he had prestige. That meant he had been successful in Sodom. He had been successful there. He was somebody. He was a judge at the gate. That was Lot's choice. Be careful about your choices in life. Now let's think very quickly about Lot's city, the city he went to. He went to Sodom. Sodomites were sinners. And Sodom and Gomorrah, the prevailing sin that was practiced there was homosexuality. The prevailing sin. And God judges sin. How many of you believe God judges sin? Raise your hand. I mean, that's God. He will judge sin. He will not tolerate sin. Now, in Sodom, they got away with it for a while. They got away with it for a period of time. And a country can do that for a while. And a church can do that for a while. And you as a one individual can do that for a while. You can get away from God and everything can seem well and prosperous and going on, and it looks like God really doesn't care and God is not noticing that you're getting away from Him, that you've compromised your convictions, and you can get away with it for a while, but one day God says, no, that's it. Those are my principles. You've been violating them, and I don't care if you're His chosen people, Israel and Judah, the northern kingdom and southern kingdom. He says, you've gotten away from me, and I'm going to take you into captivity, and the Babylonians are going to have a heyday with you for a while, or the Assyrians. That's going to happen. God says, that's it. I can promise you this, permissiveness will be judged. That is a principle of the Word of God. Now, I know, and we've already heard that some countries, England, a couple of places, some places over there, you cannot preach like I'm preaching right now, and it'll probably come to the United States. I very well think that it could happen to us, but I'm still, by God's grace, going to continue to preach the Word of God. And it's just one of those things. We've got to do what God says. You say, well, you're homophobic. No, I'm not. I beg your humble pardon. I'm not homophobic. I believe what the Bible says. Amen. And I believe what God says. And God says that sodomy is wrong. It's wrong for anybody, anywhere. You say, well, that's gay bashing. Well, first of all, they're not gay. They're some of the most miserable people in the world. They've taken a good word and ruined the good word, but they're not gay. Some of the most depressed, miserable, suicidal people in the world are gay people, so-called gay by our society. Now, I'm like Jesus in this sense. He received sinners. But once He received them and they got saved, He expected them to quit their sinful practices. Isn't that in the Bible? It sure it is. The woman that was caught in adultery, He didn't say, oh, sweetheart, I love you so much, you darling woman, and I tell you what, I'm going to save you. Now, you just go on back. I know you enjoy being a harlot. You just go back and just have all the fun you want, make the living any way you want to. You say, well, Jesus would have never said that. You're exactly right. He said to her, go on your way, but don't sin anymore. Don't practice a sinful lifestyle anymore. That's all we're saying. Will God save a homosexual? Yes. Will he save a whoremonger? Yes. Will he save a prostitute? Yes. We're all sinners. We need a Savior. But we cannot deny the reality of what the sin is. Will he save a murderer? Yes. Should he go on murdering? No. Will he save a liar? Yes. Should he go on lying? No. Will he save a homosexual? Yes. Should he go on practicing homosexuality or lesbianism for the women? No. It's a sin. And I promise you, if we continue to continue to make it an acceptable alternative lifestyle in our society, the United States of America is going to pay a price, and we're already paying part of it. I grant you that right now. Christ changed those people. Romans 6, 1 through 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, there are a lot of Baptists have that attitude. Well, hey, I'm saved by grace. I can just keep on sinning. That's not what we preach. That's not what we teach. That's not what God said. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, Paul said. The Spirit of God said through Paul. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And that's just the way it is. And we think that these people in our culture are in the majority. No, no, they're in the minority. And we need to take a stand as Christians and do all we can to see that it is not accepted as an alternate lifestyle with respect, but that it is called what it is, sin. But I'm glad to tell you, God will save you if you have that problem. And just like a person who's been a whoremonger before he or she got saved, they may have a lot of temptation to deal with that later on in their life, and you may too. But I'm telling you, if you really get saved, God's going to put a new spirit and attitude in your heart, and you're going to want to change your lifestyle because you love the Lord. Now, very quickly, Lot's consternation. Verse 14. Back in Genesis 19, verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Watch this next statement. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They said, you're joking. You see, I think one of the reasons here, I think a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons here they did that is Lot has lost his testimony. His sons-in-law didn't respect him. They knew what he was doing. They knew why he was there. They understood that he compromised. And listen, nothing can be more repulsive than a person who is backslidden who pretends to be spiritual around other people. They read you like a book, my friend. They know whether you're genuine or not. I'm going to ask you this question. How's your testimony today? How's your testimony? Teenagers, how's your testimony? Mother, dad, how's your testimony? How are our testimonies today? By the way, notice something about the sons-in-law. They didn't listen to him. They should have listened to him, even though he was a hypocrite. They should have listened to him. You can hide behind a hypocrite and say, well, you're a hypocrite, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to obey what you said God said do. But boy, do they wish they had. It doesn't do any good to hide behind somebody like that. Don't put your eyes on a backslidden Christian to justify your condition. Don't put your eyes on somebody in the church, lost person, that's a hypocrite, to justify not getting saved. Well, I'm as good as she is. I'm as good as he is. Don't forget, we have unsaved people that are members of churches. You say, well, why don't you get rid of them? Well, only God knows who they are for sure. Only God does. We practice church discipline. And I believe that's biblical. But you see, you may pick out the wrong thing and you may hide behind him and say, well, I'm as good as so-and-so. I know him. He says he's a Christian. She says she's a Christian. And I'm as good as them. Well, big deal. They're lost. They were lost. They needed to be saved. And we're all lost. We need to be saved. We need a Savior. Irregardless of what anybody else is doing, you need to be born again. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, look at Lot's companion. We got to get around to her. Mark 19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Look up that phrase, pillar of salt, in the Bible sometimes. It's interesting. But she became a pillar of salt. And one guy, one Sunday school teacher was teaching, said, Lot's wife turned in and became, turned back, turned around, and became a pillar of salt. And how do you explain that to a little child? How do you explain it to anybody? To really realize what took place here, it's difficult to understand what really she was thinking at that point in time. But one thing for sure, God said, don't turn around. Don't turn around and look back. Now you say, well, that was a simple thing. She just turned around and looked back. Fire and brimstone fell, and that was so difficult. And she just turned around and looked back, and that's all she did, a glance. And turn, but here's the point. God said, don't do it. Now let me point something out to you. Some of you say, well, I am in God's will in this area, this area, this area, this area, this area. But over here, I'm holding this back. I'm hanging on to this. Listen, if you're not obedient in every area, then you are what? Disobedient. And she had gone on out. Of course, the angels sort of had to help out there and get them out of there. They sort of were lingering in the world and sort of wanted to stay back in the world like some folks who get saved. But when she did what God said not to do, he turned her into a pillar of salt. She made the wrong decision, didn't she? God warns those in the tribulation. He says in that day in Luke 17:31-32, he which shall be upon the housetops and his stuff in the house, let him likewise not return back. And then he said, remember Lot's wife. Don't turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And the simple illustration would be for you, if you're here today as a lost person, you hear the Lord speaking to you and God says, you need to be saved. You're lost. You need Christ. You need to get ready. You need to make things right with God. Don't turn your back on God's invitation. Remember Lot's wife. She didn't do what he said when he said do it. And God speaks to you and says, you need to be saved. You need to come to Christ. Now's the time, today's the day, for you to settle that issue, that you might know for sure when you die, you're going to heaven. God gives the invitation. Isn't God wonderful and gracious and good to give the invitation? I like the fact that he says, whosoever will may come. Doesn't matter your past or what your lifestyle is. Whosoever will, anybody can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Felix trembled. He was under conviction. He knew that he should have done that. He trembled, but he said, some more convenient day, I'll receive Christ. Some more convenient day. Nowhere in this book do we find that he accepted Christ at a more convenient day. Nowhere. And I think that's by purpose on God's part and by design. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Friend, almost but lost. We need to make up our mind that God said there's only one way to heaven through Christ. The choice is absolutely clear because God gives it to us. We can take the way of escape, or we can take the way of judgment. Which way do you want? The way of escape or the way of judgment? There is a real hell. And if you die today without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. That's scary. That's an awful thought. That's a terrible thought. That you could die today. You say, well, I don't think I'm going to die today. Well, I hope you don't. But can you prove for sure right now that you're not? Or in the next week or two? Nobody can. Nobody can. But you can sure get ready and know you're ready. Some more convenient day may never come. I'm almost persuaded. I hear what you're saying, preacher, and I believe the Bible, and I believe Jesus died for me, and I know I'm a sinner, but I'm going to sow a few more wild oats. I've got a little more of my life to live, and I have friends that are not saved, and I want to run around with them a little longer. Listen, those would be bad choices. Bad choices. You need to make the right choice. And then I want to point out one other thing about Lot's children. Lot's children. Chapter 19, verse 33. We'll look at that and then we'll be on our way. The Bible says, "And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose." That happened two times. You see, he was backslidden. He hadn't set the right example for his daughters. And even though they got out, the wife turned into a pillar of salt, and he let him go to Zoar, that city, instead of the mountain, and then later they went to the mountain. Here you see some of the results of what can happen when mother or daddy or both are out of God's will and not doing what God says. And this happens to be a case of incest. And the older daughter had a boy by the name of Moab. Did you ever hear of the Moabites? They gave Israel problems all the time. You see, it comes back to bother you. And the younger one had a boy by the name of Ben-Ammi. Did you ever hear of the Ammonites? The Ammonites and the Moabites and all those other sites and ites in the Bible, there's a reason they were there, and this had to do with that. Abraham did what was right, and God blessed him and has blessed the whole world through his seed, Jesus, so we can get saved. Lot disobeyed, and I can tell you Lot was miserable. Partial obedience is disobedience. A lost person, judgment is coming. Would you come to Christ today? Nobody's here to condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you of any practices, any sins, anything in your life. He'll do that if you'll come to him today. And I'm here to say to you as a Christian, take the warning of God, the admonition of God. Man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, doesn't matter. Listen to what God says. Don't be settled for a worldly life, because it'll come back someday to cause you heartache and heartbreak. Make up your mind that you're going to be yielded totally to the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer. And you're not going to let the well-watered plains of the world pull you away from Almighty God. Let's stand, please. Father, I pray now you would bless in the invitation. There are, I'm sure, some Christians here that need to make some matters right, make some decisions in their life as you're speaking to them, and I pray they would. And Lord, I'm sure in a congregation this large, this many people, there are some boys and girls and men and women and young people that need to be saved. They've never settled that matter with you. I pray that today they would not be almost persuaded, but today they would come to Christ. That today they would not put it off to some more convenient day that may never come, and as far as we know, it never came in Agrippa's life. Oh God, help them today to make that all-important decision. In Jesus' name, amen.